Blog Talk Radio.
Radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
Every magazine you pick up these days seems to have an article about the unprecedented high number and percentage of women who are still single at age 35 or older. In the African American community, the statistics have been significantly greater than 50%. If you are a woman listening to this episode right now, and you are single and at least 30 years of age, answer this question. Why are you still single? Is it because you want to be? Are you happy having no romantic companion in your life? Would you prefer to come home after work to an apartment or house with just your cat, your dog, or your children? For those women who admit that they want a male companion in their life, what is holding you back? Have you let it be publicly known that you are single, unattached, and available on the market in today's dating scene? With me tonight is an up-and-coming book author who has his own reasons as to why he thinks there are so many single women in society over the age of 35. He proposes to provide you with reasons that very few, if any, men will dare to share with you. Who is this man who offers to give you some gems of wisdom and insight that might just help you identify and connect with Mr. Right? His name is Darren Haggins, and this Los Angeles bred book author is ready to drop some knowledge on my female listening audience as he decides to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this the Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh my God,
you're really good at this.
I gotta ask you though, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do.
and I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo! Mode 1! This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode 1, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, January 28th, and I don't know if you live in a warm city, in a warm state. If you do, God bless you. Just God bless you. If you live somewhere warm, God bless you, because I'm envious, because it's cold than a month. You know what I'm saying? It's cold than a month. I'm not going, clearly enunciate the word, but you know the MF word I'm saying under my breath. It's cold than a month. I'm in here in the Chicagoland area. It's cold. But welcome to my show tonight. Tonight, we're going to be discussing a subject that, quite frankly, is not new to this show. I want to say we've had probably 3 or 4 episodes that were either directly or indirectly related to this very topic. And that topic is asking the question, why are there so many single women in today's society? Not just single women in general, but I would say particularly age 35 and older. I would even go down to as low as 30, but if you're somewhere between 18 and 34, in some ways, it's really no big deal to be single. I mean, let's be honest. It's not that big a deal to be single when you're anywhere from 18 to, I'd say, 30 to 34. When you hit that 35-year-old mark, though, that's when it's a big deal for women to be single, primarily because of the biological clock issue. That's what we're going to be discussing. We're going to be asking the question, why are there so many women? My guest tonight, he's an up-and-coming book author, and he proposes to have answers, not only just answers, but answers that he says on the cover of his book that very few, if any, men will be willing to tell you. So I'm assuming he's going to have some bold answers as to why a lot of women are still single. But before I get to my guest tonight, let me tell you who's coming up next week. Now, if you think this discussion tonight is going to be interesting, I'll see one of my good friends in the chat room. I'm going to give him a shout out in a second. But if you think tonight's show
is going to be a trip. Next week's show is really going to be a trip. Now, with all due respect to my Caucasian and Hispanic listeners, because, you know, I have a diverse audience, next week's show is going to be, and I've had a number of these, so it's no surprise, but it's going to be an African-American-themed show. And that is going to be, I'm going to have a guest by the name of Hassani Pettiford. Hassani Pettiford. He wrote a few books. One has got a catchy title, Black Thighs, Black Guys, and Bedroom Lies. How's that for a catchy title? Black Thighs, Black Guys, and Bedroom Lies. But his most recent book is really going to catch the ears of my black female guest because it's called Why We Hate Black Women. How much more straightforward can you get? Why We Hate Black Women. That is the title of his book. The subtitle is Deconstructing the Paradox of Black Female Masculinity. Woo! You know it's going to be some sisters up in my chat room and calling in. They're going to have, boy, I'm going to listen to Earful next week. That's right. Hassani Pettiford, his book is called Why We Hate Black Women. You know, I'm going to play that controversy up. I'm going to try to make that episode. I'm going to market that as controversial as I can so that I have like 50,000 listeners and 49,000 to be angry black women. But that's next week. Next week. Let me give some shout outs as I always do. I love all my listeners. I love all my listeners. But as you know, I always give special love to my chat room. And my chat room tonight has one of my good friends from college, Leroy Jeter. Leroy Jeter is in the chat room as L. Jeter. What's up, my brother? I met this guy like my first week at Indiana University when I went to college, and he was good, a very good close friend of mine at Indiana University, and we lost touch, but we reconnected via Facebook, and I'm glad to see him in the chat room listening to my show. I got Self-Guided in the chat room. I got Scholar 2414 in the chat room. I got Lady Taz in the chat room. I got my main man, Hyper, is in the chat room. I got another one, my main man, Glendon. I just call him G. He's in the chat room. I got one of my best female friends in all the world, Diva, 36-26-36. I want to get her Super Bowl prediction. I know she's going to say the Colts, but then again, she might surprise me and say them Saints. Reggie Bush. I got the Leela Robbins Show in the chat room. I got Charlie Ann in the chat room. I got author Lady K in the chat room. And I'm sure I will have a few other people coming on in the chat room tonight. Other shout-outs would be my girlfriend, my beautiful, talented girlfriend, Miss Tyler Collins. I'm mad at Tyler Collins, though, tonight. I'm mad at her. She my baby. I'm mad at her, though. Why, you say? Because she lives in a warm weather state, and I don't. So I'm just mad at her for that reason alone. I'm freezing. I got to walk with a scarf on my neck and a skull cap, and she just out there where it's all warm and sunny in California. Nah, but I love her to death. I love her to death, Miss Tyler Collins. My ace confidant, my older brother, Stephen Curry. My cousin, J.P. Jones in Chicago. His sister, Kim. My cousin, Arthur Barr in Maplewood, New Jersey. My cousin, Christopher Curry in Detroit. Alvin Spencer, Denver, Colorado. All of my Blog Talk Radio Network family, Will Wavy, Mel Hopkins, Madison Media. I got beef with Madison Media. I'm not going to even say why I got beef with Madison Media, but he know why I got beef with him. I got beef with Madison Media. Adrian, My friend, Diva362636, I said I asked for her Super Bowl prediction. She gave it to me in the chat room. She says the Saints are going to win 31-28. Wrong answer. I'm a Hoosier. Don't you come talking about the Saints going to upset the Colts. Are you nuts? Colts going to demolish them. That's my prediction. It's going to be 41-17. Peyton Manning just going to go crazy. He is going to go nuts. Who was I saying? What was I saying? See, I lost my, you made me lose my train of thought with that old bogus prediction of Saints. Who that? Who that? Who that going to lose? That's what I say. Who that? Who that? Who that going to lose? But yeah, I was saying Massive Media. I got beef with him. But shout outs to Kevin Ross. Sound Off Now is coming back. If you're familiar with my fellow Blog Talk Radio host, Sound Off Now, he's coming back mid-February, February 16th, I believe. You'll hear a promo I have. I'm going to play it. Kathy Holloway Hill and all my listeners. I just love all my listeners from the East Coast to the West Coast, from the North to the South. But, yeah, I got beef with all my listeners right now who live in a warm. If it's 60 degrees or higher where you live, or even 55 degrees or higher where you live, I don't like you. I just don't like you. You're not freezing like I am. So just based on that, I don't like you. Now, you know, the Super Bowl, I already talked about. The NBA All-Star Game. Now, that's some interesting talk to do with the NBA All-Star Game because Allen Iverson is starting. Now, in any other year, that wouldn't be a big deal. Allen Iverson was a perennial All-Star. But this year, that's a big deal because who said they're going to bet me a peach snapple at the Saints? Oh, that's on. That's on, Adrian. That's on. That's on. Matter of fact, if the Saints win, I'm not going to only send you some peach snapple. I'm going to send you what my baby recommended, which is the Palm X Peach Passion White Tea, which is just as good, if not better than peach snapple. That's right, Diva. I got you on that bet, Saints. Who that? Who that gonna lose? Who that? Who that? Who that gonna lose that game? Who that? Who that? Yeah, Allen Iverson got voted to start. See, here's the deal. Again, in any other year, that wouldn't be a big deal, but Allen Iverson is like on a sorry team. He's only a shell of what he used to be, but yet he's going to be starting. Tracy McGrady was almost starting, and he only played two games this year because all the people in China was voting for him, but Steve Nash went ahead and outvoted him. So now there's complaints that the NBA All-Star Game voting is flawed. State of the Union. Obama gave his first State of the Union address yesterday, his first State of the Union. He had addressed Congress a couple times last year, but this was his first State of the Union. And I thought he was very eloquent, and I thought he expressed his points well. Of course, you know, Republicans disagree with a lot of what he said. Miramax, this surprised me today. Miramax, I don't know if you're familiar with Miramax. They were like the epitome of independent filmmaking. Miramax Studios closed shop. They were never really the same once they sold to Disney, because then that kind of, you know, defeated the purpose of being an independent film production company. I mean, like, you notice you never really hear Castle Rock anymore. I think Castle Rock was probably not in existence anymore. I'm not sure on that. But, I mean, they were pioneers in the independent filmmaking, and it's sad to see some of their most notable films, Pulp Fiction, of course, Good Will Hunting, Sex, Lies, and Videotape, number of movies. Grammys are Sunday. The Grammys are Sunday. I don't know who's the highest nominee or whatever. Normally I keep up with that. I don't know. I'm sure Lil Wayne got probably about 12 nominations for something. Just for that voice he got, you know. Hey, you know, he told lady, you know, Lil Wayne, well, and he grew on me, though. I didn't used to listen to any Lil Wayne songs, but he kind of just grew on me. And the rumor, the big rumor now, I'm not into spreading rumors, but the big rumor is that Tiger Woods' wife is having second thoughts about having a divorce. She's having second thoughts about going through with the divorce. She wants to stay married, it turns out. And if she does, that's good enough. I think she just doesn't want to be single. That's what I think. I think she just doesn't want to be single. And speaking of not wanting to be single, I'm going to go about introducing my guest for the evening. He was born and raised in Los Angeles. He grew up interacting with women, around women. He says in his book he knows how women think. And his popular book is entitled, Where is the Missing Piece to My Puzzle? Where is the Missing Piece to My Puzzle? And he has a big heart on the cover. And in parentheses, it says, Why am I still single over 30? Why am I still single over 30? Now, I told him I'm going to jack that up about 5 years because I really, to be truthful, I don't think it's a big deal to be single at 30 or 31, 32. But once you hit that 35 mark, yeah, it's a big deal. So for this show, I'm going to say, why am I still single at age 35 and older? And then finally, his subtitle is Things that Men or Your Own Man Can't Tell You. What you think about that, ladies and gentlemen? On behalf of the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and Upfront and Straightforward, listeners, give it up for book author Darren Haggins. What's up, Darren?
Hey, what's up, Alan?
How you doing this evening?
Oh, man, I'm doing all right. How you feeling?
Oh, man, I got to ask you, this is going to determine whether this is going to be a good interview or a bad interview. I want to know, what's the temperature out there in L.A. right now?
Oh, man, you know, I hate to hate on you right now because I know it's cold where you are, but right now it's probably, I would say at least maybe 65, 69,
See, I'm just about to hang up. I'm just about to end this interview before I get started, man. I just don't like none of y'all right now who are in warm weather city. It just ain't right. It just ain't fair. But anyway, no, you're a good brother, so I'm going to give you a pass, even though you probably got on like a T-shirt and some gym shorts.
Oh, man, you know I have this little T-shirt that say the Saints on right now, man, you know.
Say the Saints? Oh, man. you trying to make it hard for a brother to like you, man.
Oh, man.
Coach going to tear it up. They're going, boy, don't even get me started talking about my beloved Coach. But, hey, I want to ask you, I read your introduction in your book, so I got an idea what kind of led you towards writing this book, but I'm going to ask you, for my listeners, we all have kind of our own thoughts and personal, I guess, philosophies about dating and relationships, but very few people go as far as to put their thoughts in a book form. And you know, that's a bold move, and I congratulate you for doing that because I've done the same thing. What made
you
go to the point where you said, I'm going to write a book about my thoughts, observations, principles, opinions, et cetera?
Well, man, it's kind of a long story, but what originally happened was, you know, I was in a relationship for like 5 years, you know, and when that relationship ended, I had to hit the dating scene again. And at this point, you know, I was 5 years older, and I was kind of looking for something, you know, that was kind of serious. But, you know, after dating and going on one date after another, after another, after another, I figured out that a lot of women have no clue what men are really looking for. And it wasn't that I was blaming women, saying that it's a woman's fault that she don't know what we're looking for, but I mean, they do have to take some responsibility, but the main key of it all is men didn't teach them what we're really looking for, you know. So a lot of us has been through bad relationships, and, you know, we keep going on and on without healing our minds, you know, and thinking about positive things that can make them get a good man. So it was just a cycle of bad dates, and the thing that I was wondering, why are women over the age of 30 thinking the way they really think, you know? And I said, you know, I have to put this in a book because I really want women to understand that half of the problems they go through, you know, some of the problems, not their own problems, because they've been in bad relationships and, you know, they've been taught the wrong things. But like I said, they do have to take some responsibility. And this is what this book is about, just for them to understand what us as men are really kind of looking for after this age.
Hmm. Okay, okay. Now, do you think many women offer a lot of invalid excuses for why they're still single over the age of 30 or 35?
I definitely think it's a lot of excuses, but the main one to me is the inner excuse, and that's because a lot of women, you know, they become victims, and once you become a victim, it's at a point where you're not even trying to help yourself out anymore. You think that everything that's happening to you, you know, is bad, but you're not doing anything to change that, and that's what this book is about. This book is about, you know, changing the way you look at things, and the things you look at will change. You know, if you think positive, positive things will come. If you think all men are dogs, that's what you're going to attract. But if you think, you know, there's good men out there and you're willing to give them a chance, that's what you're going to attract also.
Uh-huh. So you think a lot of women play the role of the victim?
Yes, I do think a lot of women play the role of the victim. And it's not, you know, I'm sure they have an excuse for playing that role. It's because, you know, they've been hurt and damaged. And especially after the age of 30, 35, a lot of women have had kids and it didn't work out. And, you know, they have sad stories. But the point is there's a point where you have to move on and you have to recognize when you do meet a good man, the things that you need to do and the stuff that you need to take to basically keep that man. Because, I mean, let's face it. Any woman can get a man, but the point is keeping that man.
Yeah, that's the truth. Okay, well, let me ask you. Well, no, wait, I'm going to hold off on that question. I was going to ask you, how do they go about it? But I got a few questions before I get to that question. I'm going to touch on the men for a second. A lot of women tell me they think men are too indecisive and or too promiscuous to settle down. What are your thoughts on that charge?
I mean, in a certain sense, I mean, that could be true. You know, everybody have a different situation, but the point is no matter if a man is all that you just named, if he's that, then, you know, obviously that's not the man for her, and she needs to figure out what she's really looking for so she can attract the kind of man that she's really looking for. I mean, there's a point we have to all face. You know, we can like someone to death, but if they're not made for us, then there's a point that we might have to let that go, because if we don't let it go, we're going to deal with them for years. And then there we go again, the victim again. We dealt with this. You know, they think that, okay, I dealt with this man for 5-10 years, and all of a sudden – he's this way or this way. But in reality, she knew at the beginning he was that way. So the point is, you know, it goes back to basically trying to choose the right man that can fit into your lifestyle.
Now, do you think a lot of women, a lot of men say that a lot of women, they feel like a lot of women gravitate towards the loser types and the bad boys instead of the quality guys. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, for me, I don't like to just say women do this or men do this, but for those women that do gravitate towards the bad men, I mean, there are a lot of women that do that. And, for example, is growing up, I've worked in a lot of clubs, nightclubs, and, you know, when I met women, it was easy. I didn't have to put no effort in it, and, you know, you go out. Actually, sometimes you didn't even have to go out. They just, you know, all you had to do was wear, you know, white theater and show your muscles, and they were all over you, and that was it. But, you know, at that time of my life, I was a player. So they knew I was a player, but they gravitated towards me. And then when I changed my career and got into the real estate business, now wearing, you know, a tie, slacks and everything, I didn't get no action. It was like, you know, I was that nerd. But, you know, when I was the other way, it was so easy to get women, and I think a lot of women, they do get it. They're attracted to that kind of guy, you know. But that kind of guy, I'm not saying he's a bad guy, but if that woman wants a future, you know, that player kind of guy or that bad guy, it's not going to really work for you, because, you know, there was one point when a lot of women was looking for guys that are, you know, women had that little saying, I want a roughneck and I want a thug, mm-hmm. but that's not just an all the surface thing. That's just not a guy, you know, with loose jeans on and a wife beater on. That goes way back. I mean, that goes with, you know, a roughneck and all that. This guy might be a hustler. He might not have a good job. He might not have this. He might not have that. Once that woman starts gravitating towards him and falling in love, all those other little things that she neglected at the beginning, as far as he's a hustler, you know, he don't have a job, he does this, he does. Now all that is coming out, and now she's at the point where she don't want to be with this guy anymore. So, again, she wasted all those years with the guy that she knew from the beginning wasn't really meant for her. I mean, so, you know, the book is basically, I mean, it's telling women, you know, it's basically everything we know, the law of attraction. If you want to attract this kind of man, you have to put that out there, and that's what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. Now, what are some of the more popular places for a woman to meet a man? And let's put it in two categories. Let's say if you're in a large metropolitan city like a Los Angeles, a Chicago, Atlanta, and then secondly, if you're in like a small to medium-sized area or a rural area, what are some of the more popular places that if you would suggest that a single woman go to meet some quality men?
Well, I
uh-oh,
think everybody
chuckled.
Like, you know, because that's a common question that a lot of people ask. But the reality thing is, there's no answer for that because relationships are basically all about timing. I mean, you know, if you can be at church, you can be at a club, you can be at a coffee house, you can be at the movie and meet, you know, the man or woman of your dreams. It just depends on where that man is at that time of his life. So it's really no one place you can meet a guy. You know, some women think if I go to church, I can meet a good guy. But reality, that guy you meet in church, he might be in church confessing all his sins that he committed the night before. So it's no one place you can meet a guy. I mean, it's basically, once you want a guy and you tell yourself that you want a guy, you know, eventually one will come. And eventually you will find that man. But it's no one place that you can go and find a man.
It's no one place you can go. Okay. No, now what do you, okay, let me ask you this. Since online is big, what are your thoughts on online dating and second to online matchmaking like Match.com, eHarmony, and also secondly, social networking services like a MySpace or Facebook. What are your thoughts about single women meeting men on online?
I think it could work or it might not work. It just depends, again, like what kind of man that you met. You know, it's about timing again. Sometimes guys go online to hook up with as many women as they can, you know, because it's very easy to just sit behind a screen and just email each other back and forth. You know, that's very easy. But the whole thing is, it could be a good guy behind that screen or it could be a player behind the screen. And that's just basically one of those chances that you're taking. Some women don't like the online thing because they have met a lot of players on there. But, you know, there's good stories, too. There's people that meet their mate online and end up getting married. So, you know, again, it's the same answer that it just depends on.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to just interject. You know you're talking to an online success story.
Exactly, see?
Yeah, because I met my girl. We connected on Facebook. And
exactly.
And we have a great relationship, so I think we're testimony that
right.
Online can work for some people. But like you said, I wouldn't say we're necessarily the rule. We might be probably the exception to the rule because you got a lot of people who use online and they have hidden agendas and underlying motives. So you definitely have your questionable types, both male and female.
Right.
Okay, now let me ask you, what attributes should a woman emphasize the most when she's looking for Mr. Right? Should it be looks? Should it be intelligence, level of education, career success and or his financial self-sufficiency? Should it be his character and integrity, or should it be a combination of those things? What should be most important and what should be least important when a woman's looking for Mr. Right?
I think basically the main thing is a man character, because a man character is going to really tell her where that man wants to go in life. But everything you named, it has to be in there also. I mean, you can't have a character and then, you know, you're not attracted to the person. Or you can't have someone that's attractive but have no character. Everything goes into one. It's like, you know, I look at relationships as far as like, it's like baking a cake. I mean, you need all these ingredients to make that cake taste good. If you don't have all these ingredients, that cake might end up being flat. I mean, it might end up being a pancake. But it's just all these ingredients, it makes that cake rise. And, it, you know, beauty, as far as beauty, that's just in the eye of the beholder. I mean, if you think your mate is beautiful, then you're supposed to, and no one else has to think that. But if you are dating a guy and he's smart or you like his smile, but you're not attracted to him and you think sooner or later, you know, you can get over that, you're probably going to have a fight of your life, because you're going to run into a lot of guys that are, you know, that you think are attractive. And then you're going to be looking at them and your man knowing that, you know, he's not that attractive to you. And that's where the problem starts, you know. And I just think that in relationships, we have to have a little of everything to make it work. And I'm not saying someone has to be perfect or they have to have this. I'm not saying that. But the least thing, I mean, a lot of women aren't going to agree with this. The least thing that I think a man needs to have when you first meet him is a lot of money. I don't think he needs to have a lot of money.
You okay? All right. Now, you know, some more gold digging types are definitely going to disagree with you. But what's your basis behind that? Why doesn't he need to have a lot of money?
Well, the thing that he don't need a lot of money is because, you know, again, like I mentioned, character should be like almost your number one thing. And if he has a good character and he's good inside, eventually when you guys become a couple, you guys can work on, you know, you guys can work on the money issues together. You guys can get a business together and you know, get it together. But, you know, it's a lot of women out there, you know, like let's mention, I'm not going to say a lot of women. Let's just say there are gold diggers out there that want a guy for money. But at the end of the day or at the end of the year, how did that help them? They still don't get any of it, you know, and that's where the control issues come in at, because if a guy have a lot of money and he's dating a girl that he knows is a gold digger, she's going to get shortchanged every time anyway, because, you know, that's his money anyway. So if you're looking for a real relationship, I mean, you can get in a relationship with a broke guy. And, you know, I'm not saying, you know, where it's just broke, but you can get in a relationship with a guy that, you know, that want to make it in life, and you guys can work it out together. And, I mean, that's a success story, you know, within itself.
Well, I agree with that attitude, actually. Because, you know, my current girl, she wasn't attracted to me for my millions. Well, she couldn't have been attracted to me for my millions, because they're just nowhere to be found. But, yeah, you know, I foresee us taking each other to the next level and really creating our own prosperity as a couple. So, yeah, I agree with that idea. What's that? I'm sorry.
I said that's mainly what it's about right there. Let's build each other up.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to take a quick intermission break. But, listeners, if you have a question for book author Darren Haggins, or you have a comment related to tonight's discussion about women 35 years of age and older being single, my call-in number is 646-478-5710. Again, that's 646-478-5710. I will be back after this quick intermission. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mode 1.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
It's over 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay.
There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindset is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that's, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
So the listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger. Now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that. Yeah.
Oh, man, you got to love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network. We now return to my interview with up-and-coming dating and relationships book author Darren Haggins on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back, welcome back. You are listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, and we're talking about a subject that I've talked about
at least three or four times, which is the subject of why are there so many single women in society age 35 and older? Again, as I start off saying, you know, if you're a woman and you're 18, between 18 and 29, or even between 18 and 34, that's not really, you know, eyebrow raising. That's not really a big deal. But when a woman hits that ripe age of 35, that's when people start asking, why is she still single? Especially if she's never been married. It's one thing if you've been divorced. But there's still quite a few women out here who are 35 years of age and older who have never been married, don't have any kids, and it makes people wonder why. And whatever statistics there are in general, the statistics even go higher in the African-American community. So it's definitely an interesting topic. And here to discuss this topic with me this evening is an up-and-coming book author by the name of Darren Haggins. He is the author of the book entitled, Where is the Missing Piece to My Puzzle? Where is the Missing Piece to My Puzzle? Now, Darren, you know what I find interesting about your book?
What's that?
That makes it an easy read for a person like me. You have a lot of short chapters.
Right.
And I like that because, I mean, now you got a lot of chapters. You got like about 55 chapters in your book, but they're all range anywhere from two to five pages, you know, whereas a lot of people have these long chapters. But it makes you more compelled to read the book in one sitting because the chapters are so short. And I like that style of yours. Now I'm going to ask you about something. This, we're going to touch on another dating and relationships book author because he says something in his book that has caused a lot of discussion. I've had a lot of debates related to this, and I'm going to ask you about it. Steve Harvey. Well, first, before I get to Steve Harvey, I want to give a shout-out to a few people who came in my chat room after the show started. I always like to give chat room shout-outs. 49ers fan 09, shout-out to you. Atlanta Boss, shout-out to you. Bundle of Thought, shout-out to you. Dashanique 123, shout out to you. A number of guests are in my chat room. A number of guests. Heather M. Gerard is in my chat room. J.J. Knightley is in my chat room. J.J. Knightley has their own show on Blog Talk Radio, so look up J.J. Knightley's show. Kalia 1970 is in my chat room. Again, I got my good friend Leroy Jeter. Leroy Jeter. Very close friend from college. He's in my chat room. Oh, I got the controversial Deborah Cooper, a.k.a. Miss Heartbeat. You know Miss Heartbeat in my chat room. You know it's going to be some controversy in my chat room because she's just so outspoken and she's just so convicted in her opinions. Oh, boy, I'm going to have to look out for my chat room now because Miss Heartbeat in there, but she's cool. Open Your Soul Radio is in my chat room. Open Your Soul Radio is in my chat room. The Lead Story is in my chat room. The Lead Story is in my chat room. Noon for You is in my chat room. Noon for You is in my chat room. And I'm sure some other people will be coming on in my chat room. That's right. Yeah, Miss Heartbeat, I give you some of my best chicken wings. Everybody know I love chicken wings. Darren, I don't know if you know, man. I love me some chicken wings. I love, see, that's what my listeners know. If there's two things my listeners know about me, they know I love some chicken wings, and they know I love, well, I used to say it's chicken wings and peach schnapple. Nothing could come between me and chicken wings. But now my baby, she lives out your way. I'm going to come out and join her soon. She lives in California, and, you know, I wish I was there now with her in that warm weather. But she introduced me, Darren, to something new that just... It knocked. What's up, Mel Hopkins? I didn't know that was you. Mel Hopkins is in my chat room. Darren, she introduced me to this stuff called Palm X. And I'm giving them a free promo tonight. They should be paying me, but it's called Palm X Peach Passion White Tea. palm egg.
That sounds good.
Ooh, man, it's so peachy. I love any drink that got peach flavor in it. And, man, chicken wings and palm eggs, peach passion wax tea. Woo! But anyway, this is what the question I was going to ask you, because there's been a lot of controversy on this. The 90-day rule. Steve Harvey said a woman should wait at least 90 days before having sex with a man. Do you agree with that rule? Do you disagree with that rule? And if you disagree with that rule, do you have any type of Darren Haggins, like, 37-and-a-half-day rule or something like that? What's your thoughts on a woman waiting to have sex with a man?
Well, you know, that's the magic question, huh? Okay, no disrespect to the Steve Harvey book, but for me, I believe that it's no set rule to when you have sex with a man or, you know, vice versa. I think that, you know, if you do date a man and, say, for instance, you have sex on the first night, there's people that get married after having sex on the first night, you know.
True.
So it's really no set rule. I mean, you can wait 90 days, you can wait 190 days, but the reality thing about it, if you know, a man can have sex with you after 90 days, he might stay with you for 90 days just to have sex with you and then leave after that. So, you know, to me, being that my book is basically after the age of 30, I think that that's a personal choice that you and your partner have to make. I don't think it's no set rule. I think when you go in relationships or dating and you have these set rules, I think that you're, you know, you're building yourself up for failure, because every rule don't, I mean, it's different situations for every rule. So to me, you know, whether, I mean, who's to say after 90 days you have sex, the man is going to stay or not?
Yeah, all right. Trust me, I totally agree with you, and that's why I was curious to see what you were going to say. I actually wrote an article. I write articles for what's called the NationalExaminer.com, and matter of fact, you need to be doing that.
hey,
they hire authors and stuff. But anyway, I wrote an article about that related to that whole rule thing. I had a show about that, and my thoughts were generally along the lines of yours. I believe a woman should have sex with a man when she's ready to. Simple as that. If that's
exactly
the first or second night after she meet a guy, so be it. If that's a year and a half after she meet a guy, so be it. Because like you said, there are a lot of guys out here who will wait 90 days, 6 months, even a year just to have sex with a woman 5 to 10 times. I've heard guys say that. They'll be like, man, shoot, I want to get in the pants so bad, I'll wait 2 years just to tap that ass. And they'll do it. and like and you, then on the flip side, like you said, I know some guys who told me they got married to a woman who they had sex with, you know, the first night. So,
right.
Yeah, there's no hard and fast rule on that. But, yeah, I wanted to see what your thoughts were about that. Now, let me ask you, you were talking about, we've been talking about up to this point about women looking for a man and what she should look for and all this stuff. Then let's say she's identified a man that she met either in person or online, and now it's just starting to get into that new part, the first few days, first few weeks of a new relationship. Give me the three ingredients to a loving relationship.
Wow. First of all, communication. You know, communication is basically, I mean, that's the building block. I mean, it just keeps the relationship going on and on. I mean, because you guys are basically, you know, putting ideals and ingredients into the relationship. So, you know, both of you guys have to not necessarily agree on everything, but, you know, you guys have to be basically shooting towards the same topic to make the relationship work. So, you know, first of all, I just have to say communication. Without it, you know, the relationship's not going to work. The second thing I would say is trust. You have to be able to trust in someone, especially for women. A woman has to trust their man. you know, basically to so-called, and I'm not going to say follow your man, because I'm not going to say the man is the leader and woman needs to follow the man, but in order for you to basically trust, I mean, you need to be able to trust them, because if you don't trust them, what's going to happen is you're going to start getting negative thoughts in your head. And negative thoughts are poison. It's like a cancer. Once you start getting it in your head, your red flags go up, and every little thing that happens, you're going to accuse him of. And that's right there in itself is going to end the relationship, okay? The third thing is that it's honesty. You got to be honest. And when I say being honest, it's basically being honest with your man, and it's being honest with yourself. Honesty, I mean, you have to have honesty. Your man has to know that when you say something, that's your word, basically. And, you know, if anything's going to change, you're going to let him know that, you know, and you're being honest with him, you know, whether it might hurt him or whether it don't hurt him. But a man wants a woman that's going to be honest with him. And that's all those three ingredients. That's what keeps, you know, it gets the relationship going and it builds that foundation, you know, to make it stand, you know, under anything.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Do you think religion and or spirituality is important for a relationship to work? Do you think you can be an atheist or agnostic and have just as successful a relationship as, say, someone who is spiritually grounded, or no?
Yes, I think you can. I think it's the religion thing. It's a really a hard thing to talk about because it depends on, you know, it depends on your beliefs, basically. Some people, you know, they might be a certain religion and they say they don't judge, but you know, in reality, everyone judges to a certain extent, you know. So it just, you know, it all depends on. I mean, I don't think you have to have the same religion, but I think, you know, basically, overall, you know, both of you guys have to basically have that spirit to make the relationship grow. But you know, I think you both can have, you know, different opinions, you know, as long as at the end of the day you guys meet, you know, at the same target, basically.
Okay. Now, one of my closest friends who always listens to my show, and I forgot to give him a shout out at the beginning of the show, and that's Irvin V. Pulliam III, EVP3. He wanted me to ask you, I'm going back to something I asked you earlier about the whole, like, bad boys and guys, you know, having the flaws in their personality. How long should it take a woman to identify that a guy is, say, an incorrigible womanizer or just generally not good for him? Is that something she can find out, say, within the first week, or is that going to take her a lot longer? You know, what is the general time frame you think it should take for a woman to identify if a man is of high character and integrity or low character and integrity? You kill me with that little chuckle you got.
Yeah, you know, because that's the question. It's different situations, basically. But, you know, I think God, you know, he gave us the ability to basically, you know, have common sense. And we kind of know when we first meet someone. I mean, we don't know what they're all about, but we have an ideal of what kind of person they are by the words that come out of their mouth. You know, if junk come out of a man's mouth, then you know junk is in his head. And with that man, you probably don't want in your life. So it depends. It has a lot of different situations. You know, it's hard to just pinpoint it and say that if a man say this, that means he's this, because, you know, that's, again, judging. But it's just, you know, I think I would just say follow your mind. You kind of know who's a good guy and who's a bad guy by having a conversation with them. And
so you think that's something
player,
that's intuitive?
Yeah, exactly. And as far as being a player, I mean, you're not going to really know that I mean, until you start the relationship or start the friendship to develop into the relationship. That's what you need to have to look at this pattern.
Now, going into our community, and when I say our community, I'm talking about the African-American community, there seems to be, in my opinion, more animosity between black single men and black single women than at any time, I think, in my life. Do you think there's some, what specific factors do you think have contributed to why there's such a chasm between black single men and black? They're both pointing the finger and having these harsh criticisms and these generalizations and the stereotypes. What do you think, in your opinion, has contributed to that?
Well, that's a, I just think that, you know, I kind of have to be on the woman's side a little on this, because I do think that, you know, a lot of some black women, I mean, they date black men, of course, and they have been dogged by black men, and that's what they know. They know black men do this or black men do that, but the reality part about it is it has nothing to do with a black man or a black woman. It just has to do with the person, and that's what I was basically pointing out at the beginning of the conversation. It has to do with being a victim. I mean, if you're a woman and you've been hurt by a black man, that don't mean all black men are bad. That just basically means, you know, your judgment have to, you have to up your judgment a little to get you a good black man. Same as men. It's a lot of men I hear, you know, say that black women do this or do that or do this or do that. But in reality, I think, you know, it has nothing to do with a woman being black. It just has to do with that woman, period. If I meet a woman that have those kind of issues, it's my choice to either, you know, stay there or move on. I mean, I can't change the way she think about black men because of what she have dealt with in the past, because I'm my own black man, and I'm sure you're your own black man. So it's just, you know, I just think people need to, you know, get off of the black man, the black woman and everything, and just focus on the person, period.
Hmm. Okay. What, based on your observation and experience, what are some factors that almost inevitably always destroy a dating relationship at some point? Well, name at least 2 to 3 factors that you think will just about always result in that relationship ending at some point.
Trust. Once trust is gone, the relationship is almost over with. I mean, it's hard to rebuild trust. And also, I think, you know, basically your character, your the words that's coming out of your mouth is not matching your actions. So, you know, actions are very important, and I think those are the 2 things that can mess a relationship up, because those are the 2 things that, you know, it's the trust issue again.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, speaking of trust, let me ask you this related question then. Do you think a woman can or should forgive a man who has cheated on her at least twice, 2 or more times? Do you think a woman can forgive that man, and should she forgive that man if he's cheated on her at least twice?
I think she can forgive the man, but I think it takes a long time to forgive that man. And I think that that man have to, you know, basically change the way he think and his actions, basically. He have to change almost everything about himself to make her trust him again. He have to basically earn that trust from her. And, you know, it's no set time that it can happen. You know, it could be a year, it could be 2 years, it could be 3 years. It's no set time. As far as the woman being able to accept it and accept him back, that's a personal choice. It just depends on, you know, what kind of man she has. If she don't believe, if he's not changing his actions or, you know, doing anything different, then she's not going to trust him at all. But it just depends on how strong that woman is, if she even want to take that chance on him hurting her again. And that's what it all comes down to. Some women, you know, they can take it and they work it out, you know, and make it work. But then some women, they just can't, you know, mentally it affects them, you know, and they just can't go on with the relationship. So that comes down to the woman again.
I don't know if you heard me at the beginning of the show, but there's a rumor going around. I don't know if this is a fact yet, but there's a rumor that Tiger Woods' wife is not going to proceed with the divorce. And if she doesn't, that would mean that she's, I guess, willing to forgive him. And we know he done cheated like about 265 times. You think, let me ask your opinion on that. You think she genuinely misses him, or she just wants to stay within that cash? I mean, what's your feeling if indeed she does go ahead and take him back?
Well, I don't think it's about the cash, because, you know, regardless, if she decide to go her separate way, she's going to get half anyway. So I don't think it's about the cash. But,
okay.
I think, you know, what it really is she just want to stand behind her man and possibly just give him another chance. Maybe she, you know, really and truly love him, and she want to give him that another chance, you know, because, you know, if everybody make mistakes, and some people can deal with the cheating issue and some people can't. And, you know, relationships are so common sense. You know, either you can or you can't. If you can, then you just stay there and you do everything you can to make it work. But you got to be true to yourself. Can you really stay there and trust them? You know, can she really do that? I don't know. But I do think that, you know, it kind of shows that she's a strong woman and she's going to stand by her man, you know, because we really don't know their situation. We don't know. You know, she might. I mean, to be honest with you, and I don't mean to put it out there like that, but who's to say that they even have sex or do anything? You know, we don't know that. Maybe he went outside the relationship to have sex with her. We don't know. So I think, you know, just being outside looking in, I give her lots of props, and I think that, you know, she's standing by her man regardless of what the media or anybody else say.
Now, you know, I had some women email me, and, of course, they were asking me about you. So I got to get into your personal life. Have you been married? Are you married now?
Right now, I'm single right now. And,
you're single right now? Have you ever been married?
I've been married when I was 19. I got married.
Wow.
Dude, that's young.
Oh
man, I was fresh out of high school, but you know, I didn't know anything then. I saw a beautiful woman. She wanted to marry me, so I did it. But, you know, I didn't have no ingredients going into it to know, you know, how to make it work. As far as me being single now, I'm single by choice. But I'm not saying that I don't want a woman. I would love to have a woman of my dreams right now. But at this point in my life, I'm looking for quality. You know, I'm not looking for quantity. I'm not trying to date every woman and pretend like she's my woman. I'm looking for someone. You know, like I said, the timing thing, I'm looking for someone that's where I am right now, basically, that you know, want to do the thing and do it right, regardless. And anything else, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not trying to settle for it right now. So
I feel you on the quality thing. Because, yeah, I reached that point, you know, I've admitted on my show, I've had my, for sure, womanizing days. But, you know, I found quality. Well, I actually first... Well, you know who my girlfriend is, Tyler Collins.
Right.
And
right.
I first saw her 20 years ago, and I'm dating myself. But, yeah, I saw her on TV, back then I said, that's who I want to date.
Right, right.
And as fate would have it, we would end up hooking up 20 years later. Actually, could have met her. I had a coworker who was going hook us up back in 95, and I chose not to do it. But yeah, I just got to a point where, I wanted quality. I was just, you know, I was tired of the whole skirt chasing. Now, somebody asked me to ask you, if you were to go into another marriage, what would you do differently than you did the first time? What have you learned, and how would you know that you're going to maintain the second marriage?
Ooh, well, you know, being that the first time I was 19 and didn't know anything, I would say I would do everything different. But the main thing I would do different that I didn't do at the beginning of my first marriage is I would have that talk with, you know, with my potential wife to ask her what this marriage means to her, because that's an important topic. I mean, because, you know, a lot of people want to get married, but your marriage might be different than my marriage. And see, we need to put that on the table to see what target we're shooting towards, because if you want this and I want this, then we're going to have a problem eventually. So that's the one thing I would do. I would try to find out what this person is really looking for and what this marriage means to them.
That's a good point. Actually, because you're right. A lot of people, I think, men and women, we go in with our own definition of what we think marriage should be. And so, yeah, I totally agree with you on that, Darren. I think you should have that sit down and lay things down on the table to make sure you're on the same page. And, so that's good stuff. Now, somebody also asked me this. Do you think – I had a woman on my show a couple weeks ago named Chanel Cooper Sykes, very dynamic woman. And she was talking about women being submissive to men and got some of the women riled up, including Miss Heartbeat in my chat room got – riled up. But one statistic she pointed out is that she said statistically, and I would have to do my own research to back this up, but she said worldwide there are 7 women for every man on earth. There's 7 women. So let's just limit it to the United States. Let's say if that statistic is true, that if you lined up all the men and all the women, single men and all the single women, there would be 5 to 7 times as many women as men. So doesn't that mean that even if the women do their best to try to identify Mr. Right, some women are just going to be left out?
Mm. Well,
you know, before I let you answer that, you know, I read this interesting article a few years ago. I forget which country this was, but there was a country, well, there's a few countries actually in the world. I don't know if people know, but there's a lot of countries that actually promote polygamy. And one of the reasons why, and what surprised me on this particular website, it was the women who were actually promoting it more than the men. And the reason why the women were promoting it is for that very reason. They said in this particular country it was such an excess of women that they actually considered it a sin for a man not to marry multiple women, because they felt like it should be no, you know, women not able to be married. But in a monogamous society, if you have more women than men, then you're going to have some women that's not going to get married. So do you think that can contribute to a woman becoming, like, cynical and maybe just dejected about her chances? Or you think she should just keep her head up and just, you know, try to do what she has control over doing?
She got to do what she has control over doing. And what that is controlling herself and basically, you know, making herself ready for love and marriage. Because, you know, no matter how we look at those kind of statistics and everything, we can't, you know, you can't worry about the next person as far as, like, you know, I'm talking about as a woman point of view, saying, you know, well, it's too many of us, so there's women that's going to be left out. She shouldn't worry about that. She should worry about basically finding her man. You know, that's going to always be there, and we have no control over that. I mean, there's nothing we could do about that. It's just the way it is. So, you know, I just think a woman should just basically focus on herself. And, you know, if a woman want to be married, she should just say, I want to be married, and then attract that and not worry about what the next person doing or how many women there is, you know. I mean, that's good for us, you know, especially if you're a man and you're a player. That's perfect for you. But as far as a woman, she shouldn't even, you know, put that in her mind and worry about that. She should just worry about what she's doing.
Okay, okay. It looks like I got a call. Let me see if they just listening or if they got something to say. Area code 904. Area code 904. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, my guest, book author Darren Haggins. Do you have a question or comment, or are you just listening?
Just listening.
Oh, you just listening? Okay.
Just listening. First time listening and just getting an earful.
What's your name? First name?
Kalia.
Very cool. Kalia. Oh, Kalia. You in the chat room is Kalia, 1970?
1970, that's me.
Okay, we're glad to have you, Kalia, listening to the show. I'm going to take one more intermission break, and then, listeners, I only got about roughly 10 more minutes left in the show, so if you want to call in, it's 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. I will come back right after this intermission. Don't go anywhere.
Another Sound Off Now show starts now.
Yo, what's up? This man, Sound Off Now. What's good, people? Monday morning, first of the year. How's everybody doing? Yo, what's up? This man, Sound Off Now. What's up? This man, Sound Off Now. How's everybody doing? Welcome to the Tantalizing Tuesday on the Sound Off Now show. Hello, how's everybody doing tonight? This is your host, Sound Off Now show, special edition, Monday night special, Crisis in Haiti.
Hey, this your man, Sound Off Now. No, really, it's me this time. I want to take this quick opportunity to invite everyone out to my return to internet radio in my home, of course, Blog Talk Radio, February 16th, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Sound Off Now show, The Rebirth. Same real life, real talk, real issues show format. Just a different attitude and mental concept of bringing you quality shows you deserve. Also, we will still be hitting you with that popular mesh of hot show topics and forums with that blend of music on the side, including hot, hot, hot Club SON Platinum on Fridays, 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time. So join me February 16th, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the rebirth of the Sound Off Now show to the internet airwaves and Blog Talk Radio. I'll see you there.
Looked at myself as a quote-unquote bad boy, at least not in all regards. I mean, I ain't never robbed no bank, and I ain't never skipped 2 weeks of school. So in terms of just various facets of my behavior, I wouldn't necessarily call myself that. But yeah, when it comes to sex, I've definitely been that guy.
Because
I will push a woman's boundaries.
You know what? To be honest with you, I think most women are waiting for a man to do that. Most women want a man to do that. Most women that are coming up in the day and age where a woman is supposed to be the good girl has this idea that a man is going to bring that out of her, and she's hoping that he will. Unfortunately, a lot of men, I won't say a lot of men, but some men have no idea what they're doing. And so they're not able to get that out of her. And then everybody's frustrated. She's frustrated, he's frustrated. Nobody knows why it's not working. But women are like, go ahead, like blindfold her and just take her wherever you want to take her. She's waiting for a man to command that. So she can't, you know, in some cases be that free to say, okay, blindfold me and take me wherever you want to take me. And it's because in some way she's afraid of where you might take her. You know, depending on what the relationship is like with him and how much she trusts him. And in other cases, she just doesn't know how to say that herself.
No woman wants a man that can't lay it down in the bedroom. Period.
And, you know, women, we go through this, oh, I want to be held and I want to cuddle and I want to talk. Yeah, we want to do all of that. But when it comes down to it, we want to be climbing off the ceiling just like everybody else does.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to my interview with up-and-coming dating and relationships book author Darren Haggins on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back, welcome back. We're actually down to the last, like, probably 5, 6, 7 minutes of my show. If you got a last minute question or comment, you can call in at 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. I got what looks like an internet phone call, area code 111. You're now Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest book author, Darren Haggins. What's your question or comment?
Huh? Start getting off
a hand. Hello?
Okay. Tell him.
Hello?
Hello?
Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, because you said the internet, and I'm not internet. I'm actually on the phone just listening.
Oh, you're on a regular phone? Because you're, it's coming up, area code 111. That's usually like a Skype call or something.
I'm 323 from Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. What's your question or comment?
Well, you know, I was going to comment on what Darren Haggins and you were talking about. And you know that one with the lady talking about the seven men to every one woman? I've been saying
no,
this.
No, seven women to every one man.
Yeah, seven women to every one man.
Yeah.
I've been saying that. I'm a married man with three kids.
Okay.
But I'll tell you this right here. I was joking with my wife, and it always upsets her. But I was saying to her that, you know, that's why it's supposed we're supposed to be with more than just one woman. If not, then what did God want? For the other six women to be with each other, or is just six women supposed to be without?
Well, you know, I know you're being lighthearted, you bring up interesting points, because, like, I don't know if you heard me, but what I was talking about, there are some countries, like, I want to say in, like, the Middle East and Africa, they actually look at monogamy as a sin. In the same way we look at polygamy as unethical, there are some countries that look at monogamy as unethical because they feel like no woman should ever not have the opportunity to be married. So they feel like, say, if in a country there's, I don't know, 1 million men and 4 million women, then the man should be not only allowed to date multiple women, but they're actually encouraged to marry. Now, the one stipulation, though, these men have to, you know, be willing to take care of the women. So that's
right. I mean, and you know, we can look at this a lot of different ways, but you know, and you know, I'm making jokes about it, or I'm kind of laughing about it, but you know, maybe this right here is probably at the very root of what we talk about in this country all the time, and that is, you know, how often do we have to sit down here and talk about, you know, women saying that there ain't no good men out there. Maybe just ain't no men out there because they all really are taken up. Are they all really just taken up? And, you know, it's like you say there ain't no good men out there. No, it just ain't no men out there, girl.
What's your first name, brother?
Ernest.
Ernest, okay. Glad to have you call in, Ernest.
Okay, thank you, man.
Uh-huh.
Darren, my final question for you before I wrap up. When a woman enters into a new relationship, and let's say she has, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6 really good male platonic friends, should she maintain those male platonic friends, or should she cut them off if she thinks it's going to make her new partner feel uncomfortable?
I think, as far as that question, I think she should put them to the side, basically. Because, you know, it's been times I've dated women, and, you know, the whole date, you know, they're talking about their men friends, you know, and, you know, you get some women that say, you know, I have all man friends, and I don't have no female friends, and then, you know, the question is, why do you only have male friends? The answer for that is because I don't get along with females. Okay, that might be true and everything, but, you know, the reality of it all is, do I really know what kind of male friends these are? At the beginning, I have no clue. So I think, you know, that word is used very loosely because at the beginning, all you're going to do is put a question mark in my head because, you know, being a man, you and I both know that some of a woman male friends, if given the opportunity, will have sex with them, you know, and that's not really considered a male friend. A friend is someone, you know, that's not going to cross those boundaries. But,
exactly.
You know, it's just us as men, you know, when a woman tells us that she has male friends and that's all she has, we don't really know what kind of friends these are. We don't know if it's her ex-boyfriends, if it's her ex-husbands, or, you know, some women, they become best friends with their ex-mates. And me personally, I'm not 100% okay with that because, you know, this is a guy that's seen you naked before. This is a guy that,
yep,
you know, have sex with you before. So
yep,
I'm just not 100% comfortable with that, you know. And, you know, you really have to get to know your woman before you can consider any of that. But at the beginning of a relationship, that's a hard thing to swallow because you don't really know what's really going on, you know.
I heard that. That was well said. And I want to give a few quick shout-outs to people who joined my chat room late. I see 6 a.m. Runner join my chat room. Ed Lips joined my chat room. Frantonia Pollins, friend of mine from L.A., joined the chat room late. Let me see anybody else who came in late. I think everybody else has been in here a while. RJam1974, I don't think was in here. RJam. Sir Cherry and the Game Fanatic. Sir Cherry and the Game Fanatic. So, Darren, tell my listeners, where can they find you on the World Wide Web?
Oh, you can, you know, first of all, I want to thank everybody for listening, you know, and even being interested in my book. It's selling really good. I want to thank everybody that, you know, that's went out and bought it already. If you have any more questions, you can either hit me up on Facebook, Darren Higgins, or, you know, you can order the book. You can even, you know, make it easy for you. You can go on the web, order from BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com, or you can go to a nearest bookstore near you and order it. Again, I want to, you know, thank everybody, you know, for supporting me and being interested in what I have to say. And I do wish everybody marriage, you know, or whatever you're looking for in life, you know. In this book, it'll get you there. If you do the right things, you'll get there.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you being on my show, Darren. I've enjoyed all of your feedback, and I wish you nothing but success in the future. And I'm sure you will meet your own quality woman that you're going to live the rest of your life with. And until then, until next week, folks, have a safe and enjoyable weekend. The Super Bowl is not this weekend, but the Grammys is this weekend. The Grammys on Sunday. And I think the Pro Bowl is this weekend. The Pro Bowl, which is a twist. Usually the Pro Bowl is after the Super Bowl, but they're going to have it this week. But again, next week, I'm going to have an interesting show. Hassani Pettiford is going to talk about why we hate Black Women. Oh, man, that's going to be a show. So until next week, same time, same bat channel. Take care.